Broadcasting live from Roberta's in Bushwick, Brooklyn, you're listening to HeritageRadioNetwork.com.
To We Dig Plants on the Heritage Radio Network. I'm Carmen DeVito.
And I'm Alice Marcus Krieg.
And we are the ladies of Groundworks, Inc. We design, install, and maintain gardens in and around New York City. Now it's winter, so we're in the studio, and we have a really fun guest today, another Heritage host, Jason Colucci.
Wow, you're from Staten. Are you really from Staten Island?
I am. Why? My voice doesn't give it away.
No, you like myself have like traveled far and away to try to take the edge off the accent.
Yes.
Is it Colucci?
Colucci.
It's Colucci. Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
I thought it was Coluccio.
It's a common mistake, and somebody sat behind me in my school with the last name Coluccio, but that's boring. But okay. So yes.
Well, Jason is the host of The Morning After Show, which airs on Sunday afternoons at 3. That used to be our time slot, Jason.
You took our spot.
it's heritage politics. I'm sorry.
I know. Well, today we thought we'd join forces and talk about herbal remedies, morning after fixer-uppers, you know, some hair of the dog stuff, and how these herbs and remedies have been used throughout time. And we know what's happening on Sunday, the big game. Everyone's going to overindulge. So we thought we'd give you some tips on how to feel better at the morning after, on Monday morning. So let's talk about Jason a little bit. Jason is a New York City...
I hate that. Please, stop.
No, we want to talk about... Oh, it's all about you today, Jason. All right? Jason Colucci is a New York City restaurant insider who has worked under Drew Nie... Okay, I'm going to mispronounce this.
Drew Nieporn.
How do you say it?
Nieporn. I just got it. I worked for the guy for 4 years.
Robert De Niro and Keith McNally managing their operations and purchasing for ventures like the Acela Club at Citi Field, Polino's Bar and Pizzeria, which I heard is really good.
Which is amazing.
And I've yet to go. Tribeca Grill, Corton, etc. Restaurateurs and chefs have leaned on him for over a decade for advice on practical business decisions ranging from strategy to flavor profiles. And on his show, he talks with Michelin star chefs and up-and-coming restaurant insiders and Hollywood personalities. The Morning After is a great show, and we're so glad to have you.
Thank you.
Jason also resides in Park Slope, like you, Alice.
Yes.
I do, and I went on GroundworksInc.com to see if I could... Because I was doing a little research. First I created a drinking game from the Mance show.
Oh,
all right.
Awesome.
Let's do it.
Every time you mention the Dutchman, you have to do a shot.
Okay.
So I don't know what, you know.
I will work that in.
Yeah, the Dutchman. Because I was doing some research. And two shows I gravitated towards. One was the Gowanus Canal because I live right there.
Sure.
I'm sure one of my ancestors dumped a body in there over the years. But
you are from Staten Island.
Yeah, exactly.
Say no more.
The other one was the Man Show, just because I was like,
what is this?
Yeah, as a natural guy, I just saw a man and like went right to it.
pants man.
And it was a very insider. It encompassed what the show is about, because I learned a lot. One of the things was about corn. What was it? Pots made from
the
corn.
The rice husks.
Yeah, rice husks and pots made from corn rather than plastic. So anyone listening in today, I would say, has any interest in just sort of the general welfare of horticulture in the five boroughs, listen to the show on top of the fact of hobbyists, please tune in.
Thank you. And you have some gardening experience yourself, right, up in New England?
Yeah, tell us now.
It's funny you should ask that, Johnny.
Jason.
Does that mean that I'm Ed McMahon? That's horrible.
No. It's elite.
I'm kidding.
It was so hot today in Brooklyn.
Let me tell you.
We have have a tiger later.
I was born and raised in Staten Island, and I had a great childhood. My parents are amazing. My parents and my grandparents are the two biggest influences in my life, and I don't regret coming from there. It's definitely a chip on your shoulder that you hold. And I had interest in cinema when I was young, just because my grandparents had operated a deli in Park Slope for a really long time, and one of their tenants was doing stop motion animation, and he had a thing delivered to him that had this, it was called it's basically film camp.
Uh-huh.
And I was working in the restaurant industry. I was a sophomore at Monsignor Farrell High School in Staten Island.
Uh-huh.
And I went to this film camp in Maine, and I had always, it's the first time I'd ever been really out of the borough.
Yeah, and
I
was, and just, Maine, I is fell, out of the borough.
I fell in love.
Yeah.
I decided to go back there in college, and a girl I dated for about 5 years, her family were embedded into a town called Wanalancet, New Hampshire.
Uh-huh.
But one of you guys goes to Squam Lake.
Yeah, Alice, I was Alice, talking yeah. about, a friend of ours has a house on Squam, and I rent it sometimes.
Her dad builds like post and beam houses, and you know, here I am, I'm just watching like Goodfellas and all these fun movies. No, and I go up there, and like, you know, we sit down and eat, and I finish my food in 3 minutes, and they're there, you know, it takes them an hour and a half to eat. I wake up at 5 o'clock, 5:30 in the morning. I'm smelling blueberry muffins. And,
farm living is yeah, the place to be.
They had settled down there in the late 60s, Vietnam War kind of thing.
Right.
And, you know, and I learned a lot. It was definitely a experience, because just the general, like her mom would make creams and stuff. So that was my first experience with sort of gardening. And then that went further into more like landscape architecture and how that kind of intertwines in our lives.
Right, exactly. Well, today we wanted to talk kind of about herbalists and combating the side effects of a bad hangover.
Oof.
Some hair of the dog. Just playing on the name of Jason's show, The Morning After, we thought we would talk about some kind of historical remedies and modern day remedies.
Yeah, you know? And we're very timely. The Huffington Post there was a story about this plant called the Chinese raisin tree. Right?
Yes.
Its botanical name is Hovinia dulcis.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, these researchers got a bunch of rats drunk, right? And then they gave them this ancient Chinese remedy, this extract made from this plant, and they had less of a hangover, were able to process the alcohol. So now you can go online and you can find this extract that will help you deal with the symptoms.
Oh, so you can buy this extract now.
Yes, yeah.
Well, I was also reading and doing a little research that the British Medical Journal did tests.
Read this, because I have a rebuttal to this.
Okay. So that they listed the alcohols like from the best to the worst.
I say the most American, the most English to the most American, as I like to put it.
Yeah. So I guess
gin's not first.
The worst thing to drink is
bourbon. Of course.
Bourbon?
Why?
Because it's classically. It's classically.
I mean, as far as a hangover is going to go,
it's going to give you the. I disagree.
It's going to give you the fastest.
I disagree.
Like
with
it's going to affect you the most.
Based on personal
being
experience.
Being a professional, I would say gin would be the first one, and maybe that's against the English aesthetic, but I would say gin would probably be one of the worst.
So hangovers. The order is bourbon's the worst, Alice.
Well, it says this is confusing because it says from best to worst. So I'll read it. Alcohol from best to worst. Bourbon, whiskey, rum, brandy, red wine, white wine, gin, and vodka. But if that's true, then their second phrase showing that drinking bourbon is twice as likely to cause a hangover than the same amount of vodka, that doesn't really make sense. If you're talking about from best to worst.
It's the worst to best then.
Yeah.
Yes, the worst. So the worst thing to drink is bourbon. What do you think, Jason?
It's really tough to tell. I think anything with a really high sugar content is usually, and now with the awareness of just sort of procurement of people taking extra steps to distill things a little bit longer, I think that takes a big, whatever the particular spirit is. So I think that's something you could take into consideration. And, you know, if it's a lot of different things. What did you eat? You know, if you go out and you're drinking Hypnotic on the rocks all night, you're probably going to have that. I think that falls under under the cognac category.
Right, exactly. Right. And what's your weight and blah, blah, blah.
My personal worst is tequila. That's a mind eraser for me.
Well, that's good. I think I'd love to hang out in a garden this summer and have some tequila with you.
I think we can.
Well, actually, there's an event that you might be interested in. February 10th, the Brooklyn Botanic Garden is trying to attract younger sort of visitors and have more, you know, youthful events. And they're having an event called Lush on February 10th.
Yeah.
And they're having DJs and they're having, you know, cocktails based on the, and they're going to open up the orchid houses so you can be in this like tropical jungle environment, be dancing and be drinking.
I feel like there's going to be a lot of moms and strollers there. I just feel like, is that the first Saturday museum thing when you...
No, it's from 8, it starts at 8 p.m. So the moms, you know, if they come, they're going to get rid of their babies. And yeah.
I know that Park Slope propaganda. It doesn't work on
I know. I'm joining the tribe, so...
Mazel tov to you.
Yeah. So let's talk for a second. You mentioned the word spirit.
Yes.
And, you know, the spirits were actually a big part of, historically, of hangovers. There were ancient beliefs that prayer and sacrifice to these spirits would make the hangover or the headache go away. You could apply goat dung to the forehead to chase these spirits away. They were actually believed, which was actually believed to be a placebo effect, since pain was really only associated with evil spirits, never the simple act of just overindulging.
Yeah, no, a lot of college fraternities have adopted this policy too. Actually.
Putting goat dung, just the smell of it will make you forget your hangover. That's basically
the Egyptians believed that attaching a fake clay crocodile with a grain stem in its mouth, using a linen binding tie to the forehead, would rid the patient of evil symptoms. The names of various healing gods would be written on the linen tie. In actuality, maybe this helped ease the symptoms, as the tie provided pressure on the dilated blood vessels.
God, I'm so happy I'm alive in modern times.
Yeah, some Gatorade and aspirin and, you know...
Just a
greasy food.
Just look at my iPhone. I feel so much better about technology, and just about the time I was born, hearing something like that.
Another ancient method was get the bones from a head of a vulture, wrap them in deer skin. These are all things that, of course, we have around the house.
Yeah.
And this will cure your headache. The brain of the vulture was to be rubbed with the best oil you could find and held to the nose to expel the ailments. Now, I think it would just make you so nauseous that it would, like, you know, kind of overcompensate for the...
Did your research team do this? Or did you just type in this in Wikipedia?
Kind of just Wikipedia. Googling.
Okay, no, I'm just wondering. Okay.
Research team. We are the research team.
Yeah.
I know. We have to make the network seem bigger than this.
I did have some books, though, that I found these in my library. So, and the Italian monks would make poultices of opium and then soak them in vinegar and rub them onto the head. The vinegar would open the pores and allow for the seepage of opium.
I believe that. That would work. Opium, but then you're in an opiate withdrawal after that.
Yeah, and then the last one that I found, which was actually in a book of mine, the Incas would treat headaches by cutting open the patient's head with a small incision and dripping the juice of coca leaves in it. That sounds insane.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know if you've seen Apocalypto.
I did. That was a great movie, actually. Yeah, it was disturbing, but good. So. Wow. So let's move to the present a little bit.
Actually, we have to take a break. It's break time. Oh. Sorry.
Okay. Well, stay tuned. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes. Stay tuned to We Dig Plants.
The program was sponsored by White Oak Pastures. The Harris family has lived and farmed White Oak Pastures for 145 years. They are committed to sustainable land stewardship and humane animal stockmanship. Their mission? We take care of the land and the herd, and they take care of us. For more information about their cattle and their farm, visit whiteoakpastures.com.
Welcome back. You're listening to We Dig Plants on Heritage Radio Network, and we're talking about why herbal remedies work to cure a headache, the specific properties of some of these plants in alleviating our overindulgence. And we're with Jason Colucci from The Morning After, hence the name of our show and the theme for today.
Hello.
So Jason, you've worked in a lot of restaurants, and you probably have seen some very drunk
staff.
And patrons coming in on Sunday, you know,
and owners.
Sunday brunch, and owners. So tell us a good recipe for Bloody Mary, and I want to talk for a second about horseradish.
If anyone needs to buy 3 hours, that's going into a shift, I have a perfect concoction. It's not the most. I guess here's what I would do, and this is a lot of trial and error here. I've been in this industry for about 16 years now. A pack and a half of Excedrin and a Sunkist orange soda in a can.
Uh-huh.
And if you need to eat, Chinese spare ribs. But a small order, not a large order.
Yeah.
And that has saved me.
That's pretty good.
Many occasions.
Grease, fizz. And a pain reliever.
And caffeine. Right. It has to be Excedrin, because Excedrin has that caffeine
in
it.
Yes, right. That's right.
And it pushes you, it buys you 3 hours. And then once you get through that 3 hours, you're like halfway through your shift, and then
you're
you know,
kind
the,
of
it
okay.
Continues.
Yeah, yeah. Of course, you stink continue. When you're standing at the table. But well, let's talk for a second, though, about Bloody Marys, because that's kind of the quintessential hair of the dog. You know, I need a little something to get me over this hump.
I think if you really want to get into in our country the culture of its approach to alcohol, who has the best Bloody Marys, I think you definitely have to go to New Orleans, which is a place that I try to visit once a year, usually around Halloween, and I think that sort of ties into the old day drinking aesthetic, and they whatever interpretation, and everybody has their New Orleans thing. They definitely have the best Bloody Marys in the country. They just a reviver. It gets you, you know, pulls you back into the night before. It keeps you going.
Right.
And I think one characteristic that all Bloody Marys that I like, particular, are briny kind of stuff. And whatever you want to put in, everyone has their, you know, little. It's like any other American kind of classic, you know, apple pie, whatever.
Right.
Everyone has their ideas. But for me, my favorite Bloody Marys are in New Orleans.
And a key ingredient is horseradish.
Yes,
right?
but I was thinking about this. There's two interpretations of what the derivative of that horseradish is. Now, you can go into the classic fresh, which you see a lot of now. But I think if you really concentrate on the sub-ingredients of prepared horseradish, there's other stuff in that goes into the cocktail. Mm-hmm. Meaning, you know, you have your fresh thing, you just shave it off, and it's classically
from the root. Right.
Yeah. From the root. And then you have your prepared horseradish, where there's some other stuff,
vinegars or, yeah.
Exactly.
Right,
pickle
right.
Juice.
So you really need to sort of you know, kind of take it from there. And I know now with Cocktail Nation, or whatever you want to call it, Mixology, maybe some premieres of the world, you see a lot more fresh, you know, at the end.
Right, right. But you can also use the leaf, I think.
Yes, that's right. Yeah. Both the leaf and the root are edible. And it's supposed to, I guess its effect, according to herbologists, is that it stimulates the immune system and the appetite. And it's also good for respiratory ailments, which often follow heavy drinking.
Yeah, and blood flow.
Yes,
oh, really?
To help the blood flow, because usually you feel so, you know, you're swimming, you're not clear, you know. So it has.
Speak for yourself.
Speaking of swimming, that was always my remedy for
swimming.
Yes.
Wait a second. You grew up all over the East Coast.
Well, a couple places, but when I was in college, we would...
Where was that?
In Virginia.
Okay.
And we would drink a little too much, and then we'd go to Hardee's in the morning and get, like, the greasy, you know, Hardee's disgusting, like, cheesy, you know, biscuit with sausage. And then we would just go and sit in the pool for hours, and we would just be great by 4 o'clock in the afternoon.
In the pool?
Was
this an above-ground pool or an in-ground
pool? No,
because myself and Carmen are used to above-ground pools coming from Staten Island.
Yeah, no, this was like the big Olympic-size college pool, but nobody was ever there on Saturday and Sunday morning, you know, because they were all recovering. And that's why it was so great, because it was quiet. The sun would be, like, shining in, and we'd just be sweating it out in the pool.
Can I ask you guys a question? I was doing some research on Groundworks Inc., and I was wondering, because I called you yesterday, and I went to voicemail on your cell phone, but primarily if I wanted to build a, and I was going to take a picture of my backyard just as a fun little project.
Do you want an above-ground pool?
No, I do. It has to be.
For people sweating it out?
Clients contact you all around the city, and you guys sort of design it out.
Yeah.
And bid it out.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. That's super, that's exciting.
And we build it, too.
And you, maintain it.
Yes.
And we've put some pools on some rooftops, in fact.
And you have to get like an architect involved with that.
Sure.
And building permits and
Okay.
Yeah, that's what we do in a nutshell.
I did my parents' house in Staten Island.
I don't want to go off too off topic, but Carmen, where did you grow up in Staten Island?
Well, I didn't live there very long. I was actually born in Italy, and I lived in Brooklyn most of my life.
Okay.
But I lived in Staten Island about 7 years, and it was on Toad Hill Road.
Okay.
The hilly part.
Yeah. That's code for I grew up with money, for anybody listening. Yeah,
but not their house is extremely modest, which is it's not one of those big splashy.
Not at all. We didn't have a pool. We didn't have a pool. Let's put it that way.
What block did you grow up on?
Right on Toad Hill Road near Coventry. My parents were pretty low key people. They had gardens.
Old school Italians. They had a tomato plant and a few in the back.
Yeah.
Oh, Carmen's parents have more than just a tomato plant.
They had a lot of gardens. A lot.
They were defining locavore before anybody else was.
Yeah. I guess if you could describe an Italian hippie, that would be them. They pretty much.
Or anyone from the southern Italy.
Yes, exactly. But you know what we did in Brooklyn? You talked about Hardee's, Alice.
Yeah.
We went to the Vegas Diner and had what they call, I guess they call them disco fries now or something.
Disco fries, disco
they
fries.
Had, you know, they had gravy and cheese, which is in Canada, it's poutine, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that was our grease-absorbing, alcohol-absorbing food.
Well, another remedy that I always use, and this sounds kind of wimpy compared to some of these other things we've been talking about, though, is lemon tea, you know?
Yeah.
Or lemon also in the Bloody Mary. You know?
I think that's a great...
Lemon.
For someone who's not a... constant abused your liver. I think that's great because in theory it's one of those things that seems really great in theory, but you're like, let me get this out of here. Like, put three tea bags in there.
Yeah.
But no, I definitely agree with that.
Biscuit.
Yeah, from somebody who is like who ventures off once in a while, like for your Super Bowl person this weekend, that might have a few extra cocktails.
And I think it's that vitamin C in the lemon. You know, there's a ton of vitamins. There's vitamin B, riboflavin, calcium, phosphorus, magnesium, as well as proteins and carbohydrates. Lemon is generally consumed in the form of lemon juice or lemon water, of course, but it's a healthy drink. It's clean. It really kind of rids the body of the toxins. It has good health benefits for the stomach as far as like cleaning the liver, cleaning the intestine.
And it's easier to get than a vulture head. I mean, let's face it. You know, I mean, the only place I ever saw was a vulture was in Kansas at my in-law's house. I was like, wow, these things are huge.
Yeah,
I know.
They don't have them in Staten Island, Jason.
On Toad Hill, they don't have vultures. But if you go down to Miller Field, there's vultures flying all around. Wait, real quick, where was your favorite place in pizza for Staten Island and Staten Island?
We like Danino's.
Oh, you know, I just got off the phone with my parents like an hour ago. I was like, oh, you have to tune in. You know, one of the hosts from Staten Island was like, we went to Danino's last night. I was like, oh, because they live in New Jersey now.
Okay.
Now, I'm a Lee's Tavern guy.
I've never gone.
Oh, you lived up down the block from there.
I never went.
Danino's is, you know, they can accommodate their volume is big.
Yeah.
It's so big that it takes away from the pizza's good.
Yeah.
But it takes away from the real quality of it. You know, they deliver. They got 100 people. You know, coming.
Well, they also have chicken wings. That's why we also went for the chicken wings.
Love
and
the
pizza.
Wings.
Buffalo wings.
Buffalo
wings.
Well, garlic. You guys know a lot about garlic being from Staten Island. Let's talk about that as a remedy.
Well, it's definitely... Whenever we would get sick, my mother would give us hunks of garlic to eat, and then we would... Everything would come up, and that would be like a purgative. And I think that would work, I guess, if you've overindulged, too. Just literally sniffing it, Alice, will also have the effect, you know? Have you ever tried that, Jason?
To, like, puke up garlic?
No, you know, sniffing it and biting it raw to help... You know.
I'll tell you, this is weird. I have this self-deprecating Italian thing about garlic. I don't like to cut it. I don't like to do it because my fingernails smell like it for about a day or two.
Well, then you need lemons.
To wash my hands. Yeah, I wash my hands. But it's this like Lady Macbeth thing where I have blood on my hands for like 3 or 4 days.
Smell garlic.
I can't get it off. And it's you know, being from Staten Island, and honestly, like it's tough. It's you take a lot of abuse. When I was in school in Maine, you know, I was just out of place and stuff. And there are certain things that I'm really proud of coming from there and stuff. But there are certain things I kind of like.
Right.
It's weird. I don't know best to explain it. I've turned to it recently in my life, but for a long time I really shied away from my roots.
Yeah.
Well, a lot of people in Maine feel that way about lobster. You know, it was poor man's food, and it was not something that you wanted to be associated with. It was work, and you know, eating lobster was not.
Yeah,
cultivated, so to speak.
And it's nothing better than Maine lobster. I don't eat lobster unless I'm in Maine. That's one of my little intricacies.
It is.
The first time my husband ever ate a lobster, being from Kansas and in the middle of the country, right? He never had eaten lobster.
Manhattan, Kansas.
He's from Manhattan, Kansas. I took him to Maine. We went on a trip to Maine, and he ate 2 entire lobsters, Jason, at once. You know, it was pretty amazing.
God bless him. How many months along are you? Can I ask?
Pregnancy?
Yes.
I'm.
Did people know this, that you're?
Yeah, I've mentioned
know?
It a few times. I'm 8 months.
Oh.
So could be any.
So Alice hasn't had a drink in 8 months, Jason. Yeah. You see, so soon.
I'm ready.
She's
That's
really
why
ready.
I'm doing my research as to.
Well, I will offer this up because I know like the next month and a half is kind of be an X factor after, you know, the young child comes.
Uh huh.
Please, I'd love to have you guys on the morning after so you can have a cocktail.
Oh, I'm there. I'm
yes.
So there.
Absolutely.
There's one thing we love at the morning after is our, you know, gin and OJ is usually
great
drink of choice.
Well, then I think one of our last kind of powerhouse
segments.
Remedies would be the banana. Now, how many people wake up with a hangover and decide, I want a banana? Not many, but it is a really good fruit.
Potassium, enormous amounts of energy. It has proteins, fiber. It's kind of like a perfect food. Carbs.
It really is.
It has vitamin A, B, B6, C, and E. It has calcium, magnesium, iron, zinc, and folic acid.
Which is good for me as a pregnant lady.
You're probably eating a lot of bananas. It also contains, surprisingly, serotonin.
Ooh, I need a lot. My serotonin levels get low during...
It really is.
On Monday, Tuesday, they're really low.
Also, the potassium contained in bananas helps regulate heartbeats, brings oxygen to the brain, and maintains the water quantity in the body at a constant level.
Which is why you're... not feeling well because you're dehydrated and your blood vessels are
mostly I think dehydration
shrunk.
Is huge because anxiety kicks in and all that stuff, and you know you definitely need to run to water. But bananas are I was a food buyer for a long time and I always saw how bananas came to the States, and I kind of shied away from them a little bit.
Really?
You know, they come here. Well, it's not that they come from South America. They get shipped here via a huge freight thing, basically something you would like the size of the Costa Condoria.
Right.
Southern Italians here. and they would be unripe, and they would come here so they didn't perish, and then they'd land somewhere and then go to Hunts Point, and then from there, so there was this huge... like process that would get
carbon
them here.
Footprint.
I don't know. I've never had a caramelized banana. You can't go wrong with that.
That's another great New Orleans. Isn't that a famous New Orleans dessert? Bananas Foster. Isn't that
that's a New York dessert?
I never make it to dessert. So but I know king cake and beignet usually. But I usually have those in the morning with some coffee at Café Du Monde.
Café Du Monde.
Yeah.
But so I'm really excited to have you guys on the show, and I'm really excited to be here. I just wanted to say thank you, and anyone who's listening here, I implore you, tune in to We Dig Plants, because I dig plants.
Oh, thanks, Jason.
Thanks for listening to We Dig Plants on Heritage. I guess we've come to the end of our show. We'd like to thank our sponsor and to our producer, Carlos Aguero Jr. Hello, Carlos. Thank you. Jason, also, what's the topic of your next show coming up on Sunday?
It's funny. It's a Super Bowl call-in show. We're going to call into about 10 restaurants. Sorry, Jack. and just do a check-in, a two-minute check-in. Meatball Shop, call Michael Cherno. Hey, guys, what are you doing?
Great.
How are you doing? What's up?
How's it going?
Mile End. Hey, Bark. Hey, what are you guys doing?
Great.
205th. some places. We're just going to check in with everybody, see what they're doing, last-minute decision-makers that happen to be tuning into Heritage at home, and, you know, they want to see what to do for
Super Bowl. So that's Sunday at 3, so please tune in to the morning after.
Because the game starts at 6, so that'll be...
Yeah, I believe... I mean, it's usually... It's an all-day affair for us Americans, and we have Madonna.
That's right.
Yes. Material girl.
All right. Well, that about wraps it up. Tune in. This is Carmen from Staten Island. Alice from Fairfield. Jason, also from Staten Island.
We'll see you
next week.
Forget about it.
On We Dig Plan.
Thanks for listening to this program on the Heritage Radio Network. You can find all of our archived programs on heritageradionetwork.com, as well as a schedule of upcoming live shows. You can also podcast all of our programs on iTunes by searching Heritage Radio Network in the iTunes Store. You can find us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter for up-to-date news and information. Thanks for listening.